It's Friday. Do you know where your IT guys are? We don't. It's Patch and Switch. And now, two guys who have managed to lose a security camera. It was outside the room, guys. Seriously. It's Patch and Switch.
You were,
No, the camera's still there. It's just got no video.
Really?
I didn't even see it out in the hallway. It's still there.
What?
Is it wireless?
It's in someone's bag.
It's in someone's
in their
bag.
Trunk. Oh, I love that.
Hey, welcome to the show, everybody.
Wait for the band to finish. Be polite.
There we go.
All right, yeah.
So literally, I come in to the secret bunker, and I realize they're doing massive construction.
Like, yes.
Literally, on the dividing line for construction is on the middle of the floor that you have to walk through to get in here. And they have these big post-it notes on the glass. That's the big display glass. It says,
yes.
Save glass. And then there's these big red X's on all the walls and all the doors and everything else. It's all over the place.
Yes.
And we get in here. They graciously plugged our stuff back in after they used a hacksaw to take down the cable trays outside. Like, literally, it's hacked off with a hacksaw. So someone took a reciprocating saw and, like, cut it off and then removed the cable trays, and now all the cables are graciously being hung from beautiful slings, but our security cam has been stolen.
Admit it, you cut them down.
I don't know.
You did it.
I can't believe it happened. Hey, man.
Hey.
Good to see you. It's Friday.
Yes.
It's not April Fool's. Maybe someone's playing April Fool's on us or something.
It is actually April Fool's Day. It's April 1st, but we're not pranking. We're not April Fooling. We're Ned Piling.
I know. Ned Pyle graciously has decided to join us in this room.
Oh. Yay.
After I heard you left him out in the waiting area, waiting to be deloused by the security guards.
She said, you're not on the list. That's all she told me.
She said, you're not
sorry.
On the list.
Story of my life.
He didn't. He was
you
supposed
know how many
to...
times I've heard that myself? A lot.
Yes, because I've been there.
Yes.
You were supposed to bring cookies, Ned.
So I brought weird chocolate instead.
So we ask for something as simple as cookies. You bring fancy chocolate and then on Twitter call us a one percenter?
I know, eh?
That's true. I am an enormous hypocrite.
Hey, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thanks. Ned Pye. Why don't you do a little introduction of yourself, my friend, for
Who
those
are
that
you?
Don't know you. Because I know you're massively popular in the social sphere space.
Yes, I'm huge on the internet.
Huge
it's funny. We were just doing a... I'll start with a segue already. We're looking at all this data about the blog statistics, like who sees how many blogs and how many viewers. Maybe we should use this blog more. It's got more readers. And some marketing folks analyze everything and give us a report. And they give us back, and the Ask DS blog is still, like, the most popular one, and I haven't written a post there in, like, 3 years.
Nice.
It's just cruising on autopilot.
I know, it's a legacy.
It's just cruising.
You put the good gems in one spot, and everyone keeps on going back to it.
They're like, boy, we should really use this
SDS blog. That's the
LED
blog, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
well done.
Autopilot.
You know, I think my blog is still out there. blogs.techthat.com/rclaws.
Yeah, mine's out there.
It's like,
and I haven't posted in like eight years or seven. I think I posted my first year.
The most popular post on that blog was actually my description of how to do a in-place migration for 2003 to 2008 or two. Ages ago.
That's solid stuff.
Yeah, but that's when 2008 came out. Like that's how old, that's how old.
Actually, he did it last week.
I just backdated it. You know, I got none of the Google search juice going.
Oh, you know, he's one of those engineering guys again.
Look at that! It's Friday. It's April Fool's, and we're actually managed to get this. I swear, you were saying when we were setting up in here that they literally dropped a hammer right next to the glass.
Yeah, it sounded like a shotgun blast going off.
Oh, nice. Okay, I'm waiting for one of the glass windows to all of a sudden explode.
Speaking of shotgun blasts, yesterday I came over to Rick's garage to borrow a Cobra tap because had gotten
you have to
a
explain
third
what a Cobra
keg.
Tap is.
Yeah, the Cobra tap. It's not Cobra Kai. It's a little different. It's actually where you connect in the beer end to a keg, and then it's like a party.
It's like it's like what you would expect
for,
to see on
a college,
a college kegerator,
kegerator
plastic
style.
Hose right. Tap type thing.
I didn't realize it had a fancy name, but okay. Right.
Yeah, so Rick over here decides that he's going to test his CO2 charging gun. It's basically this
It's like a CO2 bike pump charger.
Yeah, that charges kegs. Well, the difference here is, and the thing here is...
Over a period of several hours?
No, it uses the cartridges like in an air gun.
Okay.
So he got the wrong sized charges for his little device. So he's like, well, let's figure out how we can work it. So he puts a bolt in, like 17 washers. And finally gets it on. And then he's got a ball lock on the other end of it.
That's the tap post that goes on top of the keg.
This all seems legit so far.
And so he keeps charging up.
But it's a one-way valve.
It's a one-way valve, and he keeps pressing the CO2. He's like, oh, I've got this on it. And instead of pressing the ball lock, which would release the air, he starts unscrewing it.
And then what happened, Rick?
Boom.
I would have to say, at least 100 PSI.
Did we learn a rule about,
I'm surprised he still has his fingers.
It was so powerful. On the inside of the screw attachment for the CO2 connection, there is a rubber washer that's inside of it. It is so strong, it blew that off, and it went over top of the threaded connection on the post itself.
So it's like having your socks and shoes fly off in an explosion.
Exactly. I'm lucky I didn't lose a finger.
At least you weren't just looking to make sure.
Like, is it working
is
up
this
there?
Working? Is this thing loaded?
The thing is not 40 seconds earlier, I'm like, don't blow your fingers off. Yeah.
One of those days.
Have you anybody seen any good April Fools this morning?
I see
people trying too hard, but
yeah.
I did one this morning.
Uh-oh.
On my boss
already.
And I'm hoping he's not
listening,
watching this. I would have to wait. So you know, it's no way. And I mean, no offense, but he's a mid-level manager high availability and storage. He's probably not a gigantic Passion Switch fan. So he...
Wait a minute.
So Sid Roy, you know Sid.
Yep.
Yeah. He's a little guy, and his wife and kids always call him Gandhi because he looks a little bit like Gandhi. He wears the right round glasses. He's got his hair cut. He's real trim guy. And, the posters all around the campus they have with the MS Culture posters.
Yeah.
Well, there's one of them's like Gandhi. In fact, cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the cup they have them all.
They had one for Gandhi, and we got the art from the actual guys and redid one of them as him with some of his signature management buzzword catchphrases and hung it right in a high traffic area to see if people would just walk past it and think it was with a Gandhi poster. We redid it with his shirt.
Yeah.
And it looks just like him, except, it's got Sidisms all over it.
Oh, that's nice.
So we'll see how that goes.
Nice. We'll have to see if you know what? If he all of a sudden IMs you or something like that, well, you don't have a computer in front of you, but I say if he IMs you on your phone, you can say, hey, he does listen to Patch and Switch. You guys have influence.
He doesn't listen to me, so he's not going to listen to me.
Actually,
anybody.
I heard the SLT watches Patch and Switch.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They actually have it on record.
Yeah.
And their people watch it for them.
Their people watch it.
And give them the excerpts of what's actually going on.
Yeah.
And it's like two sentences. That's it.
Well, hey, at least we've got two sentences. Yeah. Hey, speaking of people who actually do watch the show, we've got a bunch in the chat room.
I know, hey.
We've got Joe Kelly. We've got Kowski. Kevin Hoyle is here. Foul Temper, Vizio MVP. Did you MVP again? Was he up in the April 1st? Because I know there's a lot of April 1st MVPs today. So congratulations to them.
Could be.
Let's see. Who have I missed? Ensposito, Wireless Life, AZ Growler Guy, Jay Shock, who's in the room. Wireless Life, I was watching your MVA course yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
our audio guy's freaking out about something.
You
know what? The build live stream is also live streaming on Channel 9 Slate at the same time as Patch and Switch is.
Yes.
On the secondary page.
Yes.
So it might be giving people echoes.
And
so our audio guy is diligently checking the audio quality to ensure that the Patch and Switch show overrides. No, he's got no problem. He's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have to suggest that you probably have two browser windows open. One browser window with build and one browser window with Patch and Switch.
So if you are on the Channel 9 page, at the very top, there's usually a little thin...
The micro button.
Micro
screen.
Yeah, micro screen, a little smaller version of Channel 9. Because Channel 9 Live is streaming from Build 2016, where we can listen
to... In the Marconi Center, San Francisco.
Moscone, yeah.
Moscone, Marconi.
Yeah, totally different.
Macaroni.
See, Marconi did
Huawei.
Marconi did the shortwave radio, didn't he?
Well, he invented the radio.
Yeah, the radio. He was the radio guy that did a broadcast from North America to Europe the first time.
AZ Growler guys, what? Build isn't watching Patch and Switch. I figured it would have been a breakout session. Well, we tried.
Actually, I think they're using the Patch and Switch show right now on the screens at the Channel 9 stage at the center.
No, because Seth is actually on interviewing Jeffrey Snover.
Is he still on right now?
Or will be interviewing Jeffrey Snover.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's
probably which will be hopefully better than the last time he interviewed Jeffrey Snover at Build.
We'll have to watch the replay of that.
So, what is PowerShell? That's a question to ask him the first time you ever interview him.
Yes, first time.
Let's see.
You got everyone in the room? We definitely are down on numbers. I think people thought it was a joke that we were having one today because of Bill and everything else.
Joe Kelly has figured out that it is the small player at the top of the page. He kept silencing our audio and it didn't fix anything.
Nice.
And he is going insane. I figured that silencing our audio would fix things so that you don't go insane, but that's me. Yeah.
So let's take the next 5 seconds and just mouth the words and don't actually say anything.
No, because that would freak J-Shock out. That would freak J-Shock out. Okay, so going back to the original question before we jump into the show, has anybody seen any real good, anyone, besides Ned's story of his poster? Have you seen any good April Fools? I've seen some that probably will cost people jobs.
Already?
Ned was telling us the story of Google.
Yeah, the Google one. Didn't you see the Google one this morning?
No, I didn't.
Holy crap. So they,
Google.com?
No, the Google Mail, like somebody thought it would be hilarious inside of a Gmail to have a, basically like a press this button to end your email conversation, like an ignore button in Outlook. But once you hit it, no one can ever respond to the entire thread.
Ooh, nice.
Oops, I was in the middle of a job interview when I pressed that button. Like, stuff like that started happening immediately.
Wow.
Plus, it was sending along an animated GIF of a minion from Despicable Me making like a weird gesture. So that extra...
Wow.
Extra professionalism being injected into your important business conversations.
It's no longer there, I take it, though.
Oh, yeah, they pulled it after like an hour.
I was about to say, I don't see it on my Gmail account.
I'm not
right
sure
now.
It really lasted past like.
Have you seen one, JJ?
I haven't
seen anything.
My April Fool's joke was my alarms didn't go off this morning.
Oh.
Is that why you're in full beard today?
Yeah, that's why I'm in full beard today.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
That's my excuse.
I thought that was your playoff beard.
My playoff beard.
Yeah. Well, we know you just didn't bother to even.
You've never
do
seen me clean shave.
No,
I
don't
like,
even think
I wore a shirt for you.
I know. I'm glad you wore the shirt. Crush your enemies.
This is the one
beautiful.
I wore at Ignite. This is my first shirt I wore for my first presentation at Ignite.
Yeah. It's awesome, man. Crush your enemies.
I'll bring it to VMworld next time.
I wonder what message that would send.
No, I was having a con call, and I could have sworn to gosh that. MSIT was giving me an April Fool's Day joke because, of course, you're arriving just at, 7:59 when the meeting's supposed to start at 8 o'clock. You can then go and fire up your machine, and all of a sudden MSIT is there telling you it's time to reboot your system to apply a system update. I'm like, yes. God, Jesus. Go in and say, ignore. You can't ignore. It's one of those forced ones because I've been delaying it for so long, and then finally I have to go off and do it. And I'm just praying it actually comes back up again. Then it comes back up, and I connect up to the meeting, start going. I'm in the meeting for a couple seconds. They wave at me and say hello because they're using Google Hangouts for their meeting. And then all of a sudden, whoop, screen dies.
What?
I'm like, what? What's going on? My battery said it was full, but it was telling me it was full and hadn't refreshed the fact that it was not full anymore because of the delay of coming back from hibernation, that sort of stuff. And so I literally had no battery power. So I had to run around, try to find my power cord. Yeah, it was a frustrating day to start, I think.
That's like Snover at IT Edge, remember?
Yeah, it's just...
Where he was having it in the middle of his PowerShell presentation. He was getting Windows Update.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, nice.
He obviously has not gone through the Rick Claus course of how not to build your demo environments.
Yeah.
Visio MVP says he's old school before the quarterly award, so he's an October MVP-er.
MVP in Visio.
Yeah.
Visio that, MVP.
Yes.
Nice.
Welcome to this morning.
First cup of coffee. What's my inspirational quote? The only place knowing comes before learning is in the dictionary.
Hey,
That doesn't sound like Gandhi to me. That's somebody else.
On the psychic network.
That's a marketing guy.
Yeah. I'm on the social medias, and I have just gotten official notification from our good friend AdamBomb00 that he is now a Microsoft MVP.
Oh wow.
Congratulations. Yeah. So congratulations to my buddy Adam Baum as an MVP. I see Diego Costa, who joins the show on occasion, has also received his renewal. I'm just kind of going through and scrolling through. Andy Malone again. No surprise there. Elias. No surprise there. Dave. Dave Koala. I am stunned.
Squeaked in.
Just yeah, because squeaked, yeah, squeaked right in. You know, because he only runs like 985,000 conferences. Yep. I'm kind of going through here.
Is anybody announcing the stripping of their MVP?
Like, I officially... anyone do that? I was shunned.
Actually, I have seen that. Actually, I have seen that. I'm not going to comment.
Yeah,
I have seen that. I have seen that.
Do we have someone new in the room I haven't seen before? Jen's Secret.
Yes.
I said, who is that?
That's AZ Growler Guy's wife.
Yes.
Oh, I'm
that's
like
Jen.
Who
is Jen? We've met Jen.
Who is? She's been in here before.
I don't think she's been in the
chat room,
but we
us?
Have met her at previous Tech Ignites.
I'll have to apologize.
Tech Ignites,
yes, Tech Ignites. That's the only, I figured the only way that because I know she wasn't at Ignite, but I know she was at Tech Ed, and I want to say it was
New Orleans.
New Orleans, yeah.
Oh, New Orleans.
New Orleans. That is the crew doing alcoholic slushies at 7 o'clock in the morning, yeah. Or actually, I don't think they open until 10. They take a break from a session and come back with alcoholic slushies.
Oh, yeah.
Not that I did that before going and doing a presentation in New Orleans. Let's see. Should we
They're
start the show?
They're just Slurpees.
They're just Slurpees, yes, with a lot of alcohol in them. Everclear. Shall we start the show? Shall we talk about, from the trenches, things that we are doing in our day jobs? Let's start with our guests. What's Ned Pyle working on that you can actually that you can actually talk about without having somebody physically remove you from the room?
I would love to talk about all the things I'm working on in Technical Preview 5, but I, of course, cannot.
Oh, I was going to say I only know of 4 Technical Previews.
Yes, I'm like...
Yes.
So do we have breaking news? There's
going
to be
news.
A fifth?
Yeah, breaking news. This thing that everybody knows about is actually totally happening. Because
yeah.
Everybody knows about it. But actually, the stuff I'm working on in Storage Replica, there's stuff that I kept promising is definitely going to be coming. Like I kept promising, like you'd be able to. If people don't know what Storage Replica is, it's block replication in Windows Server 2016. It's synchronous or asynchronous. It's long range. It's short range. It's make a stretch cluster. It's just replicate two servers. It's whatever you want, and it's at the volume. So it's just. Files or VMs or whatever, it's blocks. So people kept asking for things like, hey, I would love to be able to control which network this goes over. That's going to happen. I'd love to be able to delegate this thing. That's going to happen. I'd love to be able to use thin provisioning. That has happened.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of other really cool stuff that I'm not going to
talk about.
Let out of the bag.
Right.
But those ones I kept promising so much that like it's pretty much if I didn't say they're coming, I'd get...
Lynched.
Well,
lynched online.
At least...
You would be accosted
stabbed.
At the pizza joint down
yes.
the street from where you live
yes.
because they follow you to your house.
Yeah, that does actually happen. This is in no way figurative.
Do you get recognized in the street? Hey, you're Ned Pyle.
I actually have been recognized. So you're wearing your Microsoft Tech Ed New Zealand
yeah.
Livery.
Yeah.
When I've been in Australia or in London, I routinely have somebody walk up to me on the street and say, hey, you're Ned Pyle, and I saw you on something, something or another. And I'm like, what? And then they're like, yeah, I read your blog. And then they just walk away.
It's also because your license plate says Ask DS.
Yeah. My wife loves the fact that we were flying from where the Gold Coast
yeah.
to Sydney. And we sat down a little quick commuter type flight. And she had bought seats that had a middle so that nobody would sit with us. Cause she's trying to be smart. And then, of course, some last minute guy who is like a Microsoft guy comes and gets on. And he's sitting in the middle. I have my headphones on. I'm like. I've just been presenting for 4 days. I'm trying to read or sleep. And he's like over there sort of like this. And my wife's like, what is your deal? And she's like, that's Ned Pyle. She's like the least impressed person is my wife, of course. And she's like, yeah, he loves to talk to people.
Oh.
And so for the next 2 hours, there was my best friend, a guy chatting away with me about some stuff. And I'm just like, oh, I'm going to kill you later. And she
nice.
Said, bring it on. And
nice.
That is awesome. That is fantastic. Hey, welcome to Fair Britain, who's joined us in addition to Jen Secret. So our diversity has just increased by double. hey, look, we've got
hey,
an audience.
Why are you putting your garbage next to me?
Because
dude?
I didn't want it in my pocket.
Just chuck it on the floor.
Well, I don't want to be
a mess.
It's
in a construction zone.
I have something to show you in a little bit, too.
Oh, awesome. You. Wow. I love this stuff. I love when people bring demos.
That's why I took down the security camera.
Yeah. Phrasing.
Oh, the security camera is
phrasing.
In
Archer was on last night for the first time. It's excellent.
I'm watching across the hall there, and they're putting up these bracing structures. I'm concerned.
Yeah, you should be concerned. Yeah, something's going to collapse.
It looks really professional,
it's
too.
It's going to be fun, man.
That's actually how you're supposed to do it, Rick, not just cut the beam.
Yeah. It certainly fell fast.
It looks like that Wireless Life just said the entire Winnipeg IT camp looked up when Switch mentioned alcoholic slushies. Are we actually being broadcast to an IT camp?
Well, in Winnipeg, you need to have alcoholic slushies because it's so cold there, even yes. in the summertime, yeah. that your regular beer turns into a slushie.
Just washer fluid and Tang.
Yes.
I just want to know.
Washer fluid and Tang. And the two things that don't freeze. That's nice.
You know what? We are so going to name a drink.
Washer fluid and Tang. We did a high alcohol golden ale or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. With a little
either
orange
some
peel
vodka
or something.
Drink.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Nice.
What have you been doing, Mr. Patch?
Well, the biggest thing that happened is that my documentation split finally freaking split, and we're good. We're good to go.
What?
The project that I've been working on for the last number of weeks has been splitting the Azure Compute documentation from the ginormous, gnarly mess that it was over into Windows-based documentation and Linux-based documentation. And so that finally took place. And now that the split has happened, it also happened at the same time build's going on. In case you guys don't know, there's a ton of announcements that go on a build.
Yeah.
And there's a ton of documentation that has to be released simultaneously to those announcements. And so they basically stopped all the changes until they could get all those other ones staged up, and then the changes start to come on. So I've got this waterfall. I'm going to call it not a waterfall. It's a class 4 rapids waiting of documents to all of a sudden come through on Monday probably of next week. That's going to end up having a whole bunch of new updates to the Linux documentation side. So, not so crazy. And then my call this morning was with a partner that's a Linux group that was looking at the documentation as it was and saying, good, bad, do this. This is good. This is bad. Change this. Change that. Be awesome. There you go. Thanks. And the funny thing is that everything that they mentioned was stuff that we had planned, but it stuck behind this ginormous Rapids class 4 before it actually makes it through.
So basically, all of your documentation is built up behind a ball lock.
Yeah. With 100 PSI
with
pressure.
With 100 PSI pressure.
It's just waiting for someone that's stupid enough to unscrew it on the Azure Engineering site. And all of a sudden, poof. And then it goes.
All I got out of that is your new job is to right-click and cut.
Ooh.
And then paste.
No, it's actually search, Stack Overflow, copy, paste. That's the proper way to do it.
We were splitting
right?
two documents. It sounded like, you know.
So that's Control been fun. I've been working on that one there for the last little while, and I can finally say it's out. It's done.
Oof, he's been, you've been stressed. I go into his office where normally I walk into his office with a cup of coffee and I plop down on the couch. I'm like, hey, and like he'll stop doing what he does and then goes and sits in his nice little lounger chair. And then I did it last time. Hey, and like 15 minutes later, he turned around as I'm walking out the room. Oh, hey, how's it going?
He came in here a little grumpy looking.
Yeah, well, that was that was before he had his coconut water. So.
Yeah, we're getting there. Or else you walk into my office and I'm yelling, you stupid Git, what the hell's going on? And I'm talking about the Git bash command line that I've been working on to be able to get things to work.
Are you guys in open floor plan now? Are you guys in the
No, we dodged the bullet so far. Oh. We're slated to go to open floor plan, and basically GM leveled Corey basically said, no, no, no.
Corey Sanders says no.
Corey's like, no, not yet. We're not ready yet.
The countdown's coming for us.
It's coming for sure, yeah. But yeah. They're trying to get us all into one building because we're in like 5 different buildings right now. We're so large. So they moved the devs over there. All the PMs and stuff like that are still over in our building, and it actually looks kind of cool. Over the other side, but it's, you know, it's funny. I think Mark Rusinovich tweeted a picture of him smiling and working away at his open concept desk. He's inside the executive. Xander has an open floor plan desk that he has to sit at. He doesn't sit at the desk.
Yeah, but they're in a meeting all day.
They're in meetings all days, or else he's in his private conference room.
Yeah.
And so they basically have, you know, 8 desks inside the open concept area, but there's no one using them.
That's your 1% right there.
So I asked Mark when he stumbled into a meeting I was in, and I was like, so how is it, man? He's like, I'm probably not the right person to ask. I'm like, why? He's like, because I'm always in meetings, or I'm in my private conference room, or the other.
They did 44, 43 just opened.
Yeah. And at 42, like, basically, we're hoping to hang on. They literally, Corey said, I will be in this office until there is a sledgehammer on my wall, taking the wall down.
They'll start packing.
They'll start packing.
As you know, I've been 41, so yeah. The writing's on the wall. So we'll see.
So this is where I'm happy that I'm in MSIT and we're out in one of the other, the leased buildings with offices?
Potentially, yes. AZ Growler Guy says open floor plan equals whack-a-mole. I agree.
I don't know, man. We'll see. If you're going open floor plan, these Plantronics, I think they're called CL600s or something like that. These are a godsend. They have, besides the Bose noise canceling, which is typically oriented towards white noise for airplanes, these are actually oriented towards the spectrum for conversation. So it's a different bandwidth area. And the cool thing is when you have it on, it automatically senses it's on your head and it kicks in the noise canceling. And then when you take it off and you set it somewhere, it turns the noise canceling off because they call it a wearable. It's a wearable. It's not headphones. It's not a microphone. It's a wearable. So there's heat sensors in the pads that tell you it's actually on your head. And it also, you saw me when I flipped this little microphone boom up. It senses that it's up like that, but then it has a little button on the side which acts as a, I want to hear the hostess ask me if I want a drink or not button.
Oh, yeah?
On the side. So it turns this into a microphone that it can be used for spatial awareness, and you press it again to go back into your cone of silence.
Or you can just take the headphones off.
Or you can take the headphones off.
Exactly. About nine things are going to break on there. You just outline.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah, you know, this is that. But the cool thing as well is that it actually knows if the mic is in the front position, then it knows that the microphone is the right ear. And then if you flip it to the opposite direction, it knows that it is actually the left ear.
Oh. And I bet there's no delay on it at all.
Yeah, how's the delay? How's the delay?
Yeah, well, the delay was with that little device I'm going to talk about when I got my...
Yeah, he's trying to do Bluetooth, so I brought to listen to his voice. Exactly, everything's twice. Visio MVP asks, with an open floor, do you have to be careful where you step so you don't fall through? Yeah.
That's what happened to Joey.
A lot of people are asking what happened to me, but... We never found the answer. I'm thinking Vegas.
You went to Vegas?
No, I need to go to Vegas. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Vegas after the show.
Oh, okay. Did you want to jump on a plane?
Let's
go.
Let's just go. All
right. Nate, you got good. Access. You got Jen, access Art, to the private jet, right?
My Amex is, you know, it's pretty caught up.
pretty caught up.
I had to buy some pizza yesterday for the team. Other than that, it's
brilliant. Brilliant. Visio MVP says for noise canceling, duct tape is duct tape works.
It sticks to my hair.
Yeah.
Wait. What?
the hat gets diva.
The hat gets diva. He doesn't like gooey stuff.
It looks like AZ Growler Guy will meet us in Vegas if we head down.
Nice.
Well, he says it's a 4-hour drive. Well, I've got to go home and pack at least a couple of shirts and. Then we got to get to the airport, and it's an hour and a half wait. And you can always buy stuff there, huh?
Exactly.
It's Vegas.
The
question is, what can I not do in Vegas? Yeah. Can I not drive a giant backhoe and a huge, sledgehammer or something? Yeah, you totally can do that.
Can you sell your left?
Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
Have this playground that you can go to and drive a backhoe and a bulldozer. And
you do have to blow a breathalyzer first.
That's correct. No. not kidding. You actually have to blow through a breathalyzer.
I have no doubt that you actually have to blow a breathalyzer.
And I think you have to be under the regular limit, like at like a zero as opposed to a 0.08 or something.
Hang on
like
a second. Essex Girl says the first weekend in June she'll be in Vegas. AZ Growler Guy, it's his birthday weekend. I'm thinking Vegas trips are required. That's just me, though. Kyle Beckman's joined us, so welcome. As is Kevin Hoyle, if I... didn't mention you before. I noticed that you're there. I don't remember who I've talked to.
I just saw Kelvin Hoyle a couple weekends ago.
Did I say Kevin?
But it's you Kelvin. Said Kevin.
Yeah, I do that all the time, don't I?
And you call Peter Mike all the time too.
It's okay, Joy.
So you know what? Reading. That's why I have the glasses now.
Did you do work this past week? Is what I want to know.
So
have you been working?
I'm in a conundrum. I have done some work this week. There's actually some big news to talk about.
Wow.
I just don't know if I can talk about it.
Why not?
Well, because an official email has not been sent.
So what? Do you think anyone actually watches this freaking show?
Well, yeah, good point. posted anything about it. I've not said anything about it.
Okay.
Is it time to break the news? Do I do it on this show?
I think you should do it.
Really?
Come on.
I have big news. I have accepted a new role with the Azure Active Directory Customer Experience Team.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so I will be helping some deployment.
Seal clap.
Yes. I have a great joke I'll tell you after recording that.
Oh, not for the air, I see.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, sorry, Kelvin. Moved on. Yeah, so I'm going to be helping kind of build some deployment playbooks and stuff to get customers fast-tracked, onboarded inside Azure Active Directory and Azure Active Directory Premium.
That's cool. Awesome, dude.
So I'm in engineering now, like you are.
I know. I have to, as my friend said, so you're in engineering now. You actually have to do work.
Yeah. Mr. Beckman says, so can I forward you some Premier tickets? No. Those go to Mark.
But is it still a program manager job?
It is.
Because then you don't have to do any work.
Oh, okay. Is that how it works?
That's how this works.
That's how this gig works. Yeah. As a senior program manager that's experienced in the ways of the program manager world?
A principal program manager.
When I meant senior.
You're principal now?
When I meant senior, I didn't mean level. I meant senior.
Oh, no,
senior,
yeah.
An old fart.
The less work, the more your title.
Yes.
I mean, I'm a senior program manager. A principal, man, I can't. I would have, like, brought you chocolate had I known.
I would not have accepted it from you.
Yes, the reality
is.
Particularly on April 1st, you would have known it's not real chocolate.
Yeah, my staff would have had to wash it first.
that's X-Lax.
Your staff. Whatever, Ned.
You need the first coconut water.
Apparently, the patch and switch stream is distracting Esposito from completing his labs.
Too bad.
Is Esposito in Winnipeg?
Wireless Life.
Yeah.
IT camp.
In Winnipeg.
Yeah. Wait.
So this is a PSA message.
Yeah?
Choose option C on the labs.
Option C?
Yeah, it'll be faster. Or look for the script that does it for you automatically.
Is there a script?
Oh, yeah. There's a hidden
script.
There's
always a script.
There's a hidden script.
So the entire IT camp is now looking at wireless.
No, I'm serious. There's a hidden script you can do that basically does every single step of the lab in automated fashion.
Are you sure that Wireless Life actually wrote said script?
Oh, he didn't write it. The guy that wrote the labs did.
Which is you?
I don't know what camp he's doing. If he's doing an Azure one, maybe, but he might be doing that, you know, Windows wireless stuff.
Wireless option life. C for Windows 10 deployment.
Oh, okay, yeah. See, I didn't do the Windows 10 deployment one. Sorry.
Yeah. Visio MVP says senile program manager.
That's me.
That's Rick.
The SPM.
After dealing with Linux documentation.
Yeah.
So that's my news. That's what I've been working on.
You've been working on getting a new job.
And
now you've successfully completed that.
Yeah. Actually, I don't officially start for another week because I'm taking vacation.
Oh, nice.
Total.
Way to do
that's
it.
The PM. That's the way.
That is the PM way.
That's the total PM way.
However, I have already gotten an initial document that I need to review. So.
Interesting.
I may do that today. I don't know. We'll see.
You can just like take a look at it when you're on vacation and then don't actually look at it and just say like, yeah, it looks good. Send it like halfway through your vacation. Like you're a real go-getter.
Yeah. I don't know. Does that set a standard though?
Well, you know, like I said, you
I
didn't
mean, I
want
to go in and set
it.
The bar low.
You didn't actually look at it. So.
They're carrying a very big box over there.
It is a string reinforced pulley.
I have no. Do you know what they're doing over there? Do you know what the construction is?
They're ripping down walls, dude. Like they're completely ripping.
Is that
out
where
that
the new studio is going to be?
No, it's in the back. In the back by the Dr. Evil room. They're redoing the Dr. Evil room.
Oh.
So this is probably just all open concept. Crap stuff that they do for, startups, drop-ins, and stuff like that.
Oh, basically they're trying.
They're trying to
be built like 20.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
So we're talking Microsoft stuff here.
Yeah, nobody's paying attention anyway. Wireless Life says Cymonster created the Windows 10 camp. So there is no option C.
You guys can see my screen on that camera angle, eh? Good thing I don't have
it's
any.
It's pretty bright.
Good thing I don't have any work going on in that machine.
It's really bright.
That would assume
you
actually
good thing,
do work.
As if there was some
secret stuff.
Some special
going on
possibility
here.
Let me
let me look like I'm doing something official. I'll bring up Git.
Okay.
Oh gosh.
Any news from Build? Let's talk about Build because Build happened this week. Is there
it
any
did.
News from
yeah,
from
Build,
build
that, man.
That gets you excited?
I thought the principal PMs all had to go to Build. And talk
I don't
to
know
people.
Of a single server PM who's at Build. Not one. They only invite guys from WGG.
Jeffrey Snover.
He doesn't count.
He's the architect.
He doesn't count as anything. He's a special thing. He's a satellite.
He's a satellite.
He actually, doesn't he actually own a product now? I mean, I think he's been put in charge of a product.
Is it a beard trimmer? I don't know.
No. A tie?
I wanted to get into like a whole tweet his tie thing every day, but it kind of it petered out pretty fast because I think he stopped wearing ties for the rest of the week.
Oh yeah,
it was sitting along his horrendous eye crossing ties.
He's known for those. He's known for those. Anything about that caught your interest?
Obviously,
I'm thinking that the chat room needs a patch and switch bot. Yeah, no, that's me.
I think we're gonna do that one there for sure. We need to look for volunteers for that one.
Is it going to be based off Tay?
Bash on no. Windows.
Okay. We're not talking about that.
Hey, man. Bash on Windows.
Yeah, Mr. Linux guy.
I know.
Do you know what Bash is?
I do know what Bash is. I have used it.
Can you explain
before.
It?
Before. The simplest thing to explain it is the fact that we are going to be... We've partnered with Canonical to be able to have this in place, super secret project. And apparently it's a huge deal for a bunch of Linux and sysadmins and devs that like to be able to deploy and work with Bash because that's what they're used to using. And now you can do it on a Windows box. For changing your everyday life,
yeah. It's know. All the user space stuff. I mean, it's not just Bash. Bash is kind of like the headline, but it's all the usery stuff of Canonical.
One of the main guys in Canonical that described it did a really good explanation. So, like, it's sort of like wine for Linux. Now this is the line for Windows.
Yeah,
you know, it's a Linux on Windows.
The Kirkland write-up from the guy from Canonical is probably the best one.
Yeah,
that one's pretty good.
He went through and explained it for sure, but. It's not just like a VM under the covers. It's not a container under the covers that you're running. It really is like a whole Linux
syscall
system
mapping,
in there.
Like one-to-one mapping of Windows.
And so,
user
of course, you know, not long after they announced that, there was like an angry sysadmin guy that was online on Twitter that basically replied back, "Oh yeah, for all you new Windows users of Bash, go in and do the following." And he basically put in like two commands, which changed you into the system, and then. Unmounted and got rid of your C drive.
Oh.
Which would just kill your whole machine in that spot.
Oh.
It's like, hey, welcome to the club. Boom.
It's very inclusive.
Oh, very much.
The open source community.
Once you get welcomed into the club.
The video interview that Seth did, I think, with that particular one has hit over 130,000 views within 24 hours.
Wow. That's pretty impressive for Seth to.
For Seth, I get that kind of hit numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
The big thing for me was Fedora guy. Always Fedora guy is my big thing.
Dan, what's his name?
Roper.
Oh, the Windows guy.
Yeah, the Windows guy. But on the Twitter, he's known as Microsoft Fedora guy.
Brian Roper.
Because he goes up there with the wacky shirt with the crazy inside out cuffs.
And cool sneakers. He wears cool sneakers
purple
too.
Purple sneakers.
Yeah.
And like about a 30-degree camber on his Fedora.
Yes. Rick Stilley had actually refuses to talk to him because I think his hat has more followers than Rick Stilley had.
Welcome, Veronica. I wonder if she joined after the news. Maybe I have to tell her the news later. Hi, Veronica. So Roper did a good job.
Hang on. Foul Temper is asking me, is Rick bashing Windows? Ha ha. I said, call that one out.
Nice.
I get
the
it.
Chat room.
The interesting thing is Twitter when Roper is on, because you've got people who like him.
Yeah.
You've got people who are obviously angry and don't like anything. And then there are those that just kind of don't understand.
Right.
What, because of his accent?
No, I think it's just they're just like, why is this guy yelling at us? And why is he happy and excited? This is not how technical conferences are supposed to go. The ruler, the inking, that was my thing.
That was pretty cool.
From Build. The whole new inking.
The draw the path up the side of Mount St. Helens.
I think my desktop at work just got that bill or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I came back to a rebooted machine sitting there with a flashing cursor.
For me, it was the hello in the browser was probably the coolest thing because I think that's like marks the end of app. I think app is dead.
Oh, yeah?
App's over. HTML5 and the browser can do pretty much anything now. Like, why do I need to go make a bunch of apps
to wrap it around or whatever.
I mean, like, but that's all it is. It's like I need a button to go run a browser at this point.
But then what happens when you don't have internet connectivity, dude?
Yeah, but what are you doing on your phone when you don't have internet connectivity?
You know, it's like
in a country where
that's when I start paying attention to the country I'm in because I refuse to pay for minutes in. I didn't like paying for minutes in Canada. I don't want to do in like New Zealand.
Yeah. So build lots of cool stuff. Anything yesterday catch your attention?
Service Fabric was GA'd.
Yeah.
Scale Sets was GA'd as well, which is very, very cool.
Hanselman's demo was pretty
awesome. Yeah. I was involved in helping review that one with Corey in one of his meetings. It was kind of cool. Kind of neat how they showed how the Service Fabric magically healed. The Age of Ascent guys from Iliad Games.
Yeah.
They had that out a while ago for showing, just even trying to do stuff and doing scale tests, stuff like that. That was actually pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
Not my style of game because I'm horrible at flying in a 3D space. But
50,000 people, they're gunning for you.
Yeah, you don't have much chance.
You just, you know, at this point, you're over 40, I can tell.
Yeah.
Die. Yeah.
There needs to be an automatic over 40 age check that gives
you
bonus.
Yeah, that's the Azure Fabric should have that sort of algorithm. Like, yeah, you shouldn't be here, kicking you off the game.
Did you stumble upon this by mistake?
Are you playing on your kid's machine?
Go get your 9-year-old to step in.
Oh, man.
I do have to promote, and I know that Marcinovich was on with Seth Live yesterday, but they actually had done a video on Service Fabric. So this is part two, you know, the first video a couple weeks ago, and I tweeted it out. I'll tweet it out later. The first video was microservices and Marcinovich kind of going in and talking about microservices and why they're important. Going through, like, for those of us who don't write code and don't understand that world, we just manage infrastructure. It was cool to hear, you know, kind of the monolithic design of how, you know, software was developed to the new microservices. Well, they continued that conversation on in that video. It was posted yesterday, and it's fantastic where Mark really goes in and describes Service Fabric because it was one of the things that I was confused about. It's like Service Fabric, but Service Fabric, and then you've got containers, and you've got Azure Stack, and it's like, I don't understand. How does it differentiate?
Right.
They did a really good job of talking about it, so I definitely want to kind of promote that. And with that being said, Inspizito has just accused us for being far too on topic today.
Sorry. Okay, I can fix that. The thing I wanted to show you.
Uh-oh.
Because you're Johnny Travel Guy, and you're always showing off all
Are we jumping to gadgets?
Your bags.
We have a segment on the show for gadgets.
Well, it's not a gadget. It's a container of gadgets. Does that count?
Ooh. Is it an Azure container?
Do I get to...
Is it woven into the fabric?
It's a Windows container, as long as your laptop's inside of it.
Okay.
But I can wait if you want me to wait for
that. What if your laptop's running Linux?
Oh, then it's a Linux container. Okay. It's a jail.
What if the laptop is one of those Apple devices?
Oh, then it's a, I don't know, boot camp or Parallels?
Then isn't it just a box?
Would you want to jump to doing the beer, not beer money?
Random spending. Visio MVP.
We are going off script and going spending first. Go ahead, man. You have the floor, Mr. Ned.
That's the title of your special segment?
Random spending means that this is the stuff you watch your headphones. That's the ones that you magically just all of a sudden pick up and replace. There we go.
Visio MVP says a phone with no internet, he must be a dev.
Yeah.
He has three phones, no SIMs.
Holy cow.
That is a backpack.
So, Tombin.
Tombin.
Holy. That's bigger than the camo backpack you carry.
You know, if I can just say one thing.
Go ahead.
My camo backpack is that Tombin backpack.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Yes. Can you hear me?
There
you
go. Yes. So, Tombin is actually a Seattle manufactured bag.
Yep.
Made downtown.
High-end stuff.
Yeah. Oh. So, it's actually not that expensive. I mean, it's... They get you with the
what
accessories.
What are you talking about? Yes, they nail. Like last time, my Tombin backpack cost me over $400.
Well, that's Canadian? After you filled it with all kinds of cool stuff, right?
Like this is the segment of what's in Ned's bag.
What's in Ned's bag?
Another bag. We need some music.
Hey, look at this.
So these are the.
You've seen this before, Joey? Look at that.
These are the snake charmers. Is what they're called.
The snake charmers.
Yeah, because it holds
keeps
all
your
cables.
Yeah, you've got one of those, yeah. Yeah,
and it's got two different things, and you can see through it. Like there's a 1 terabyte.
The mesh is good.
Shockproof, waterproof drive in there.
Nice. It's a Rick-proof drive.
Yeah. Well, Rick-resistant.
Rick-resistant.
Yeah.
That's
a better, more
accurate term.
Yeah.
Our lawyers made you say that, didn't they?
Let's see what else we got in here.
Yes.
And then my favorite part. Hang on. It's got these zippers that are so heavy that they're actually like a trial to open.
You're stuck on the handle, I think, dude.
Yeah.
As you're waiting.
Nice. Excellent background. So, inside...
Nothing up his sleeve.
The brain
holder.
Oh, wow.
Look at that.
Like, oh, there, and there's your laptop stuck inside there.
Documentation can fit
all
in there.
Pulling out,
to.
And everything's, like, nice and easy. But here's the special thing for Rick that's coming.
Now. Okay. I'm excited.
Crazy.
The funny thing, Ned knows me so well. Like, I love Tom Bear.
So the Rick thing is, because it's me and Rick, it's just filled with Ned's craziest t-shirts. So first off, this is an age measuring t-shirt for all of you. What is this t-shirt?
It's Star all Wars. The Star original Wars. Star Wars
the original
characters.
Star Wars.
Star Wars Kenner original.
There's Guido.
1977
I see Guido's
action
on there.
Figures. The original, like, 17.
Yeah. R2-D2, yeah.
That is
yeah.
fantastic.
The ones you couldn't buy. The ones you had to buy the empty box.
Oh, I love this. I love the sand guy. What's the guy? Sand guy? The sand sniper? People. The sand people?
Yeah, the sand people.
The sniper?
Okay, what's that one?
Tron. Encom. Yeah. Yes.
Joey's killing it already.
Yeah.
Killing
it. It just means I'm old. I'm not old. I'm well-aged.
Nothing is impossible.
Yeah. And that's what you wear when you go to your first Tech Ready to give a presentation.
Nice.
And it's a T-Rex on a motorcycle with a
mermaid.
With a mermaid.
A mermaid
and American
the
U.S.
flag.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then finally, get out of there. Your Terminator owner's manual.
Oh, excellent.
And it's done in the theme of a Haynes manual.
Yeah, yes, I'm about to say the Haynes. It looks exactly like a Haynes manual.
Probably totally illegal. Illegal shirt. We just copyright infringed all over the internet.
Exactly.
Nice.
Well, he's ready for Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why he was looking at me like I was crazy. I'm like, I gotta go home and pack.
That's his bug out bag for Vegas right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. You always gotta have a couple of weird t-shirts, and that's pretty much all you need in Vegas, right?
Now, you know what's missing from that bag?
Not yet.
You need the brain cell.
So
I have a brain cell for mine because I literally dropped my machine.
I didn't get the brain cell because I was like, oh my God, I've already spent like $350. Yeah. But I was sitting there coveting it the whole time, yes.
Yeah, definitely. Tom Bin, highly recommended. That's TOMBHIN,
yeah.
I do believe, or
BIHN.
BIHN.
Since 1972.
Yep.
Made in the United States by somebody who is not chained to their table.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, they recently unchained them to allow them to pick up their growlers as they're making their stuff.
Speaking of growlers, can we talk about beer yet?
Okay. Well,
hold on a second.
Are we done our section? I've got some more stuff.
Do you have your random spin? Oh.
The biggest thing is this thing right here.
What is this thing?
This thing. Can you see that? Is that the camera angle you got going on over there?
That's
no,
the right one
here.
Right there.
Hang on.
That's
give it to me.
No, he's...
Oh.
You can't get that far.
Oh, okay.
This is a absolutely dirt simple DB Power Bluetooth transmitter and receiver. With a flicky switch that switches between
a flicky switch?
Transmit and receive.
Is that the technical term, flicky switch?
Yes, it's charged with a simple micro USB cable to be able to power it, to charge it up, and then it transmits or receives based on what it is. The reason why I thought this was cool to show was because it was a Kinja deal that came out because of an error. Gave you a coupon code, $0. Didn't cost me anything.
Free.
Yeah. That's what you think.
Free.
Actually, that's been planted by the NSA. Honeypot.
So
it's
actually
free, Rick.
It's actually transmitting
funny
whatever's
the,
happening
yeah,
so directly to the NSA as well.
We would like to thank our NSA overlords for listening in. Now.
Yes.
It's funny how only the Canadians ended up getting the free one. Alien agents.
Yeah, you know. Super Tech Boys joined us, so welcome. I have not random spent.
Oh, and one more thing that kind of transitions to the next one. That would be...
Did I random spent?
The beer gun.
Oh, so that's beer talk.
That's beer talk. But it's a little transition because it's a random spending too.
Oh, yeah, that's
a
true.
A beer gun. A beer gun is a device used. There we go.
Nice.
There we go. The beer gun is basically a device that plugs into your keg with a beer line and also plugs into your keg with a gas line and has a Y connector to put the gas back into the canister as well. And it is a gun-shaped device with a long barrel.
Long tube.
Long tube. And then it has a button like a trigger, which is used for expelling CO2. Mm-hmm. And then it has the trigger, which the real trigger, which actually opens up the valve, which opens up and serves beer. And the whole purpose of the beer gun is to fill a bottle under pressure from a keg without losing carbonation. So you can then cap it and then give it to somebody or submit it for a competition. So we finally bought ourselves a beer gun.
Yeah, so most people when they bottle, particularly homebrew, they bottle it with bottling sugar to give the carbonation. They don't actually do it under pressure. So this device enables us to do it because we keg everything.
Right.
And have already carbonated it.
Yeah. And that way you don't get that lovely homebrew yeasty stuff at the bottom that kind of affects
my old manager, who was from Newfoundland, not coincidentally, was a somewhat of a homebrewer, but he was just such a drinker that he would just get bored of waiting. And basically just drink wort all day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Wow.
Sugar water.
Oh, yeah. Sugar water.
That was the guy who built the tree in my cubicle. That's the same level of professionalism we were getting out of Mike O'Reilly.
Nice. So that the beer gun eliminates that little sediment of yeast that builds up at the bottom by being reactivated.
Yes.
And also, a safety factor prevents you from getting exploding glass shards of bottles in your legs as your bottles explode because they overcarbonate.
Because of the pressure. Yeah. And so you, the first step is when you bottle, you fill the bottle with CO2, get rid of the oxygen. You don't want oxygen in there. And then you pour in the beer and then cap the thing. And,
send it off to competition.
Send it off. So we when we last spoke, it was the Friday before the competition.
Yes.
We have not yet spoken with our audience regarding the results of the Brewer's Choice competition, which 25 different beer were entered.
25 entered.
Oh, yes.
We had a big day.
It was a very big day. We almost swept.
We almost swept
the top
everything.
We almost swept the top five.
Beer Team 6.
Yeah.
The six of us who brew, we had the Belgian Quad. At 11 plus percent. We said it was 11. I have a feeling it's a little hotter than that. Yeah. That finished first. As we watched, we're watching these guys with this really big ladder around a lot of cables.
You realized the ladder was too tall when he tried to move it, and he just took out a ceiling tile.
Just took out a brace.
It's all right. It's
ceiling tiles. Small crane goes past.
Oh, my God.
all right, so... Talked about the Belgian Quad. That was first. Tied for third, the white, or actually it's an amber stout, we called it a golden stout because they didn't want to call it white because it's a golden chocolate pecan stout. And the reason they said it was golden is because if you said white chocolate pecan stout, most people would think it was white chocolate. It is actually a white stout. So it's a very clear stout. Just four votes out in fourth place, the science experiment that is known as the East Meets West IPA.
Rye IPA with Szechuan chilies and ghost chili pepper. That one there came in.
That is an unholy marriage.
But it worked.
It worked. People loved it.
Rick knows that I'm from Chicago.
Yeah.
So he knows that to me, if it doesn't say Old Style or Pabst or Hams... It's not actually even. It's no longer considered beer. It's just some kind of weird West Coast concoction.
So water.
You like drinking animal beer. It's got to have an animal on the can.
I like to have an animal beer.
Or a ribbon.
Or it has a cartoon animal that advertises it to children, such as Hams. Hams did.
Okay.
Hams.
All right.
Sky Blue Water.
The beer refreshing.
Nice.
Beer refreshing.
With like Yogi Bear dancing around. It was like Joe Camel before Joe Camel.
I was just a few marbles out of placing in the top five with the chocolate porter.
Switch a few marbles short of pop.
There's a shock. A few marbles short. So we had a big day. We had a big day with the Beer Team 6 beer. In fact, the quad will be professionally brewed on a 5-barrel system.
Wait. Professionally brewed is a term of endearment, I'm going to say, just because we're going to be involved in brewing it.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, we're starting the first 15 gallons.
Yeah, we have to actually start the first 15 gallons on our home brew setup.
But five barrels, which is...
5 barrels times 35, 5 times 35, 150, call it almost 180, 190 gallons or so.
Yep.
About that? 180 gallons.
That's a lot of gallons of beer.
It's going to be aged in a variety of different barrels.
Some of it will be. Half are going to do normal, and then they're going to barrel age.
No, he's thinking about doing half in the wine barrel and half in the whiskey
barrels. No, we've overridden that. Half of it is going to be natural.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought he was staying with the whiskey.
So he's going to do some whiskey and then some in the... Well, he was debating whether or not he wants to do some in the
Chardonnay. Is it Chardonnay?
No, it was...
some red wine.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Chardonnay is not red. It's white.
There's no animals on it, though.
For those listening, Ned is just shaking his head.
Yeah, that's good radio right there.
as normal, right? This is nothing new.
Well, I didn't want to actually, you know, jump up and leave. Like,
you know,
I
took it as a compliment when they told, when someone told me that I have a face for radio.
That was my father's thing. When I was in 1996, when I got my first computer job, he was like, "Oh, this computer thing is a flash in the pan, Ned. Radio."
Radio was the way to go.
A man who still uses a manual typewriter, though.
Nice.
How did you end up at, we don't have much time, but I just, how did you end up in the IT world, in the computer world?
After I got out of the Marine Corps, I had no idea what to do, and I had been a computer, I was in the infantry, so I did not gain any, you know,
usable skills,
marketable skills that didn't involve
killing someone,
neck snapping. So it was either the UFC,
running, yelling, and neck snapping,
or, so I looked at it, I was looking around, I was like, I'd always been a computer hobbyist for a decade. I'd had a TRS-80.
Trash 80.
And
nice, love them.
To start. And in the newspaper classified ads, a thing which
small, tiny classified ads at the back of newspapers. Yeah.
Yes. Thanks for explaining to all of our listeners. There was a an ad, this was in Chicago.
It's like an old-fashioned version of, like, Craigslist, right?
So much right now. And it was like, hey, come work, you know, on computers. You like computers? Come work on computers. And it was a mental institution on the north side of Chicago. And they're like, you must know Novell NetWare, which I had not heard of. And so I went to the library, sure, the actual place where there are books of pieces of paper bound together with string and glue, and read a book about NetWare.
Carbon-based archival,
yes,
devices.
That weekend. And I read about NetWare, and I learned all about it that weekend, and I went in and talked a decent sort of a half-truth game. And they're like, good enough. And then here I am.
Wow.
Wow. So you didn't necessarily lie.
No, I was very pleasant with the truth.
Okay.
That made it a very cheerful truth.
A cheerful truth.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. That's what I'm going to tell my boss when she figures out I don't know what I'm doing.
I still don't know what I'm doing. No. Program manager.
Program manager.
You don't do anything. There's nothing to know.
What is it that you do here?
Nothing. I'm program manager.
The guy up there is now trying to fix the ceiling tile that he broke.
Oh yeah? How's that working out? Let's name the show. Those of you in the chat room, let's name the show. I need three work safe words that will be the title of next week's episode. Have you noticed the ops team is doing this now?
What?
The ops team is doing random wording,
yep,
of shows.
I have not seen that.
Yeah.
That's a great advertisement, by the way, Rick.
I'm like, what is
I'm
up with
totally
this?
Unaware of what the ops team is doing. No knowledge.
Let's see. Super Tech Boy says Growler.
Okay.
Gen Secret says Bobble. B-A-U-B-L-E.
Oh, and wire, you've got to do Winnipeg.
And Wireless Life says Winnipeg, so that's it. Growler, Bobble. Good thing I'm not a radio host. Growler, Bobble, Winnipeg. Yes, that's the, next week. Are you coming by next week?
There isn't anything next week, right?
Next week? Or 2 weeks.
I don't even know if the studio is going to be here in
2 weeks. Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Based on this, I think we got to ask the powers that be.
Yeah, so stay tuned.
Nice of them to inform us that they're actually starting the construction.
Yeah, well, it doesn't surprise me because they're all away at build. So they don't think anything actually happens here while they're away at build.
I'll come back at some point if Rick asks nicely.
Oh, nice.
Oh, great.
If I could be put on the list next time would be nice.
But no, actually, I just got on the list last week, and I've been doing this show for a couple of years now. So, all right. Hey, look, the band is here. That means that we've come to the end of another exciting Patch and Switch episode. Thanks to our special guest, Ned Pyle, for coming in. Good to see you, sir.
Woo!
AD file server guy. Program manager, allegedly. So thank everybody in the chat room. AZ Growler Guy, Vizio MVP, and Spizito, get to work on your lab. Wireless Life, Gen Secret, let's go to Vegas. Same with Art. Veronica, our own Essex girl, Fair Britt, thanks for tuning into my show on Saturday. That was really cool to see you. Kowski, Joe Kelly, Kelvin Hoyle, and Foul Temper. Hopefully back in 2 weeks' time. Stay tuned to the Facebooks and Twitter to figure that out. Until then, have a weekend, everyone.